You'll turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, a very familiar passage of Scripture, and one that I believe that you have read and rehearsed and have had read and rehearsed in your ears many times. But out of this chapter, I'm going to read only one verse that will serve as a background for our message this morning. Exodus, chapter 20. And verse 12, after we bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee now again for the opportunities of worship and of reading Thy word. And we would pray Thy blessings upon us in these moments, that the Holy Spirit might cause a holy hush to be upon us, as we honor first Thee and Thy Son, and as we honor our mothers and motherhood on this Mother's Day. May the true spirit of Christ and the spirit of Christian motherhood permeate our services and characterize our lives today and in the days to come. Should there be those here today without the Savior again, we would ask that they might come to know Him and love Him as their very things in His name and for His sake with thanksgiving. Amen. Verse 12 of Exodus chapter 20 reads like this: Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The one day in the calendar that we have set apart to honor our mothers and motherhood is today, Mother's Day. And somehow I cannot help feeling that it would be impossible for us to think of mother and motherhood without thinking of God and the Bible and Christian principles. Christian principles that have been dear to us as a nation, as a church, as families, and as individual believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in a special tribute to our mothers, I want to call to your attention from the Word of God several prominent mothers. The first is a woman by the name of Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, we read the holy record about this most remarkable woman. And I've jotted down at least three reasons why we ought to pay to her special tribute and why she is such a remarkable woman and a remarkable mother. First of all, she is very prominent and very remarkable because she knew the Lord. I can think of nothing more important to be said about anyone than this, that he or she knows the Lord. Now, for us to be in the proper relationship with God, we must know something about the Word of God. We must recognize that God's Word teaches us that all men are sinners, that all men are without hope, without strength in the world, without God, and that we can only come to Him and come to know Him through the revelation of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible declares that all are sinners, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one, that there is not one just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that is, on the Lord Jesus Christ, our substitute, our sacrifice, our Savior, the Lord God Jehovah hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. who his own self bare our sins in his own body, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. The proper relationship with God demands that we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know that Hannah had not a full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that she had not a full revelation of the teachings and doctrines of the Word of God. But when I read 2 Samuel chapter 2 and the prophetic prayer of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, I'm convinced that there must have been in her heart, by revelation of the Holy Spirit, some special insight into the advent of the coming Messiah. And I believe this morning that Hannah, the mother of Samuel, is in heaven and will be in heaven by the same grace that you and I will reach the eternal city of God. I believe that she was saved by the same faith, looking toward the promised Redeemer that you and I are saved by, as we look back upon his finished, accomplished work upon Calvary's cross. And to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to be in the right relationship with God means that you, my friend, must come the way of all sinners, by the way of the cross. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. A lot of people are depending today upon church membership. A lot of people are banking upon their own good works, their own righteousness. Did you know that there are a lot of people in the world today who think that because Mother was a Christian, that they are saved? That salvation is an individual matter. You must be confronted with God individually, personally. And by faith, you must come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. I'm glad that your mother is saved and that she is a Christian. Or if she is with you only in memory this morning, that she knew God. But son and daughter, listen to me. When you stand before God, mother's salvation will not suffice for you. Mother's experience with God will not be sufficient for you. For you must stand before God on your own. You must stand before God either clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ or condemned to eternity without hope and without God forevermore. But Hannah, the mother of Samuel, knew the Lord. And that's not all. She went to church. And I think this is important. There are a lot of people in the world today that think that the church is not important. But you know, when trouble comes, the first person they turn to is the preacher. And the first organization they turn to is the church. And yet they will curse the preacher and curse God and curse the congregation and curse the church. But let the hour of trouble come, and they always call upon the church. What would our city be today without the church? What would the world be today without the church of Jesus Christ? Let me say kindly to you this morning that you owe it to Mother more than once a year. And you owe it to God, and you owe it to yourself and to your family more than just on a special occasion to frequent the house of God. I'm glad that you're here today. And I hope that you will receive from this message the solemn charge that the church that Jesus died for and purchased with his own blood is the most important organism in all the world. And there's no substitute for it. Hannah went to the house of the Lord. Are you faithfully, regularly, consistently in the house of God? Are you a Sunday morning fair weather Christian? Are you a Christian of convenience only when all things are right? Only upon that time when you feel that you ought to go or have to go. You don't have to go, but you'll be a lot better off if you make it a habit in your life to attend the house of God. Hannah went to church, and not only that, but Hannah dedicated her family to God. I read in chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petitions which I ask of him." Now look at and listen at verse 28 of 1 Samuel 1. "Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." Hannah prayed for a son, and God gave her a son, and she gave him back to God. And I see in that this morning that everything that we have came from God, and all that we shall ever hope to have comes from him. For the Bible says, "Every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father." You have strength this morning, God gave you strength. You have a home this morning, God gave you a home. You have a family today, God gave you a family. You have a car, God gave you a car. You have clothes, God gave you clothes. You have in your heart peace and happiness and joy, God gave it to you. Money in your pocket, God gave it to you. Everything that we have comes from God, and I see in this a parallel for us, as Hannah gave her family back to God in dedication, we should do the same. What shall I say of the mother of Moses who gave her son to God, and God called him to be a great ruler and redeemer of his people? Or what shall I say of the mother of Timothy who gave her son to God, and God called him to be a great evangelist of the first century? Or shall I take time to remind you of the mother of John the Baptist who gave her son to God, and God called him to be the forerunner of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ? And I would remind you this morning, mother, if you will dedicate yourself and your family to God, the true joy and true happiness and true peace that comes only through absolute commitment and full dedication of your life will be yours. Teach them the word. Teach them the songs of Zion. You never know even what a song can do to bring back the memory of mother and mother's God. During the 1890s, one of the best baseball players that the major leagues ever had was a man by the name of Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday was a heavy drinker. And after the baseball games, he would always go to the saloons. And with his fellow baseball players indulge in strong drink. One day after they had had their time of fun and frolic, Billy Sunday, walking down the streets of Chicago, heard the faint voices from a little mission station as they were singing the songs of Zion. And Billy Sunday stopped. And something got a hold of Billy Sunday that day. And he left his baseball bat, and he left his beer and whiskey bottles. And there was never a more formidable enemy of the devil than Billy Sunday, who preached the gospel across America and around the world, because he heard the songs that his mother taught him when he was just a boy coming out of a mission station in Chicago. Mothers, dedicate your sons and your daughters to God, and you will never be sorry. As the mother of Hannah did for Samuel, the great prophet, you do for yours. You commit them to God, and he will do the rest. There is another mother in the scripture, and you don't know her. You've never heard her name. You may have never heard a sermon on her. I have never heard a one one word mentioned about the mother that I'm going to talk about for just a moment. And that was the mother of the prodigal son. I know her boy went astray. I know that her son went into the depths of degradation and corruption and sin and brought shame upon his family name. I know that. I know he went as far as a man could go and fain would have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. But he remembered something. When he came to himself in the hog pen, he said to himself, "What am I doing here? Back yonder at my father's home, there are servants who have bread to eat and spare. Say, now let me ask you, who do you suppose made that bread? I don't think the prodigal's father made it. I think his mother made it. And who do you suppose perhaps spent the greater part of her time teaching and training this boy that went astray? Daddy was a busy and prosperous farmer, but mother was in the home. And somehow I believe that she played a vital role in the life of her prodigal son. And when he came back home, we don't hear mention of his mother. The Bible tells us that his father ran out to meet him and smothered him with kisses and put his arms about him. And he said to his servants, "Bring forth a robe and put it on him. And bring forth a ring and put it on his finger. And bring forth shoes and put them on his feet. And let's kill the fatted calf, for this my son was dead and is now alive. This my son was lost, but is found." I don't know, but somehow I believe the seed for amazing grace must have been dropped there. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen. I don't read anything about the prodigal's mother, but I somehow believe that you helped to bathe that prodigal son. I believe she laid his clothes out for him. I believe she took him back to her table and fed him of the good things of God's bountiful harvest. I don't know what happened that night, but somehow I believe that the prodigal's mother tucked him into bed and whispered a prayer. I say that the prodigal son went away, and he went astray, but he didn't stay. And that's the marvel of God's grace. Young man, hear me, young woman, hear me when I say to you, the same thing that followed the prodigal son into the hog pen will follow you into a far country. There's no place in this world that you can escape the prayers of your mother. There's no place in all the world that you can escape the principles of your mother. There's no place in all the world that you can escape the presence of your mother. The prodigal went astray, but he didn't stay. And somehow I believe, humanly speaking, that a whole lot of the credit was due his mother. There's another mother in the New Testament that you don't know about. You've never heard her name. And that's the mother of the rich man who died and went to hell. Would you contrast the two mothers with me? The mother of the prodigal son who must have taught his son, her son, the things of the Lord. Because though he went many a mile away, he came back. But the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell and cried and pleaded for a drop of water. I don't know what engaged his mother. I don't know why that she had not perhaps taught him the right way. But I can see a contrast here. The mother of the prodigal and the mother of the rich man in hell. And I believe somehow that your own experience can fit right into this today. And what kind of mother are you? There's another mother. You've heard her name, but you probably don't know a whole lot about her. And her name is Rizpah. It's one of the darkest, pathetic, most dramatic story in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 21. There was a famine on in the days of King David that had lasted for 3 years. And King David inquired of the Lord, why is this famine? And why all of the lack of food and the drought? And God said to David, David, do you remember when Saul was on the throne? That he did wrong to the people called the Gibeonites. And going all the way back to the days of Joshua, Joshua had entered a covenant with the Gibeonites never to harm them or fight them. But Saul, in his pride and in his desire to please his people, declared war on the Gibeonites. And God said to David, this is the reason there's a famine. And David sent messengers over to the king of Gibeah. They came to him and David said, I know why our land is in famine. And I know it's because Saul wronged your people. Now, what do you ask in payment for what my people have done to yours? I will give you gold and silver. And they said, gold and silver we will not have. Then what will you require at my hands? You know what those ambassadors from Gibeah said? We demand that you give us the sons of Saul and that we take them on out on Mount Gibeah and that we hang them and crucify them. David had already given his word, whatsoever you ask, I will do. And they did. And Rizpah was the mother of two of those boys. And all day long they went around the crosses, seven of them silhouetted against the sky in darkness, until these boys died. And like any good mother, when she came, somehow I believe she kissed the bloody feet of those two sons of hers. And it was a law on the books in those days that a body would not be taken off a tree, but would be left for the wind to rattle its bones and the vultures and wild beasts to devour its flesh. And Rizpah, the mother of two of these boys, got her some sackcloth. And she came out that first night and tried to rest, but the wild beast came, smelling the blood of her own sons. And the Bible tells us that she took that sackcloth and she drove the beast back into the forest. And daybreak came, and she tried to rest once again. But the vultures and the fowls of the air came and would pick away the flesh from her sons' bodies. And she took the sackcloth. And day and night, not for one day and one night, not for 1 week and not for 1 month. But the Bible says, from the time of the harvest until the time of the rain. And that would be May and June and July and August. 4 long months. Night and day, Rizpah drove the beast and the birds away from the flesh of her son. And you might ask Rizpah, if you were to climb Mount Gibeah, Rizpah, what are you doing here? And she would answer, I'm here because of a mother's love. I'm here because my sons have paid the price. You know what? When David learned of the plight of Rizpah, he took that law off the statute books and said, bring these boys down and give them a decent burial in the king's burying ground. Rizpah, why are you here? Because a mother loves. And I could not leave you this morning without reminding you that there was another hill not too far away from Mount Gibeah. And they call it in the Hebrew Golgotha, which means a place of a skull. Not too many miles, and by God's clock, not too many days after, there was another cross. There was another mother, and her name was Mary, and she stood by the cross of her son and watched him die. And that other son was not only the son of Mary, that other son was the Son of God. And if we were to ask this morning, why was the Son of God hanging in open shame on Calvary's cross? Why such a bloody and shameful spectacle for all the world to see? I believe the answer would come back this morning. Because God the Father loves mankind. Some of you might know the name Henry Grady, a great newspaper man of yesteryear. And one day, in the midst of all of his problems and trials and hardships of life, Henry Grady, the great newspaper man, became very discouraged, very despondent. And somehow he lost contact with God. Business, the social pressures, editing the newspaper, all of this had overshadowed his relationship and his fellowship with God. And one day he closed up his office and he journeyed over to where his precious mother lived. And he said, Mother, I really don't feel like I used to feel. Mother, I really don't have what I used to have. And Mother, I felt like I wanted to come back to the place where I first got it. And Mother opened the Bible and she read the same scriptures that she used to read when Henry was a boy. And she sang some of the same lullabies that she used to sing and the songs of Zion that she used to sing to Henry when he was a boy. And she took him to the table just like he was a little boy. Set his place and put his cake and his milk just like she used to do when he was a boy. And when bedtime came, Henry Grady didn't go to his palatial mansion to spend the night. He went back to the same room that he used to sleep in when he was just a boy. Down on her knees, a godly mother went and had a prayer with Henry Grady and tucked him in bed. And the next morning, he got up, he made his way downstairs, and he said, Mother, once again, I feel just like I used to feel when I was a boy. Mother, it's all right now. I found God again because I've come back to the place where I started. If I know the heartbeat and the pulse of America today, in every strata of human experience, men and women need to come back to the place where they started. Time, oh time, turn back in your flight and make me a boy just for the night. It wasn't my privilege to have my own mother to live, because when I was 18 months old, she went to be with the Lord. But God gave me a dandy substitute. And she's with me this morning. And I can remember in many trials of the family, Daddy is gone, Daddy is busy, away preaching, away carrying on the work. And Mother used to say, it's going to be all right, son. You see, God is the captain of the ship, and he knows what's going on inside. And she used to say, "Son, there's never a road that's so long, but somewhere it doesn't have a turn." I found that out to be true. I wish it were possible for us to go back this morning to the place where we started. Back to Mother, and back to Mother's God, and back to Mother's Bible, and back to Mother's way of life. Seems outmoded and outdated today, but the principles are the same. Henry Grady said, "I feel all right, Mother, because I've come back to the place where I first started." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before Thee this morning in closing this service, how unworthy, how undeserving, how sinful we are. Look upon us in love and mercy. Descend upon us with Thy Spirit and grace us with Thy presence just now. Heavenly Father, I ask Thee, should there be those this morning, young man or woman, boy or girl, even in the adults, that need to come back to the place where they once started, may they do so today. Should there be those who have never made that start with Christ, may they come today and begin with Him. Should there be those, Heavenly Father, who need to come for a prayer of dedication, may they come, making their way out of their seats and down to the front, and whisper a prayer to Thee. And may the spirit of motherhood, and may the spirit of Christ, and the spirit of the Bible, and the spirit of Thine own self, capture and captivate our hearts in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake.